Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy 33. In verse 12, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. God always provides covering, and he does it so that we would have room to grow. And that's what it's referring to about between the shoulders. Between the shoulders refers to the heart, the frame of reference. So God covers us to give capacity, but also protection to our frame of reference, really to our lives, because the experiences of our lives are established in our frame of reference. This principle of covering is very important, especially today, but you see it being attacked more and more in this age. With the onset of things like virtue signaling in society, for example, covering becomes not only an important thing to have, but also is under severe attack. There are people who are to be coverings who are too involved in virtue signaling, including in churches. The only true covering that is found is amongst spirit-filled Christians. But if I'm going to be a virtue signaling Christian, I'm not going to be spirit-filled. And the reason is because I will necessarily be a respecter of persons. Well, God is not a respecter of persons. Therefore, the two cannot coexist. They cannot cooperate. Virtue signaling and things like that, things where I'm concerned about what others may think or say about me, take away covering. They'll take away my place under covering, and then they will also, for those that are a covering, take away their ability or their even willingness to be a covering. Yet covering is incredibly important in the kingdom of God. It's one of the most important things that we have as believers is covering. God offers covering. In 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So a true covering, and that's what we have to have, there is such a thing as a false covering. A true covering is always through the exercise of love, and it will always cover sins. There are those people who say, oh, you're saying that sins should be covered up. I'm saying that God removes them from time in 1 John 1:7 and in Psalm 103:12. That doesn't necessarily mean that sins are not dealt with. It doesn't imply that at all. What it does mean is that a true covering is exercised in love and it will cover sins also. The reason why some people say, well, a covering will simply cover up sin and do nothing about it is the implication, is because they don't understand what a true covering actually is. God didn't just cover up our sins and do nothing about it. God sent his son to die, put our sins on his body so they die with him. So it's not like he ignored them at all. He dealt with them, and he dealt with them in Revelation 13:8 from the get-go. Before we were even here. That's what a covering is always established in. It's always established in the finished work, and therefore it's always established in love. If it is a true covering. In John 17:17, the Word of God says, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born in adversity. A true covering is faithful like that. And in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things means that love protects by covering in the original language. So this love component is essential to a true covering. If there is no love, there is no covering. A person serves as covering for another person. God serves as covering for us. The love of God serves as covering. But ultimately, in its practical expression, a person covers another person. A friend loves at all times. Love covers a multitude of sins. So we're talking about relationships between people, but it's not a relationship necessarily like a friendship, even though friendships can be covering. The meaning is not the same. We have to find true covering. In Ezekiel 3:17, the Word of God says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." Then in James 5:19, the Word of God says, "If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turned a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So why does love cover sin? It's not just love covers up sin. Love covers sin by going to the sinner and turning him from his ways. God does that in Jeremiah 31:3. Loving kindness draws us. Draws us where? To the Savior. From where? From sin. So a covering does something about it. A covering goes to the person who has sins, and he turns them from those sins. He doesn't expose them in James 4:11, but he turns them from that sin. He doesn't allow that person to stay in the sin that they're in. A covering will always recognize that it's dealing with the capacity of another person toward their relationship to God. That's the most important function of a covering, whether it's protective or edifying or correcting or whatever expression that covering has to take. It's always there for the sake of a relationship with God. We live in a world that's controlled by Satan. He is the god of this world system. He took dominion from Adam. And so we are under not the authority of Satan. We are living in a world where he has influence, including among us, including toward what we do. Have you ever noticed that you take a step of faith, has nothing to do with anybody, but all of a sudden there's all kinds of resistance? Well, that's because you live in a world that's controlled by Satan. And if you take a step of faith, it may not even involve another person. You take a step of faith, you're going to have resistance because the enemy will resist that. Because we live in a world controlled by the enemy, we need a true covering. We need a covering that will love us. We need a covering that will show us grace. We also need a covering that if we fall into sin, not so much to correct us or rebuke us or something like that, but to turn the heart. Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, yet they will be as driven snow." The picture there is not coming to somebody face to face, but side by side. The picture is somebody comes along, another person, puts their arm around them and reasons with them and guides them through the Word of God. It says, "Come now. Though your sins are as scarlet, yet they will be as driven snow." This is a covering. It doesn't mean your sins are as scarlet, you can stay in your sins. It means your sins are as scarlet, but I'm going to bring you to the Savior who will make you pure. That's a covering. Satan tries to destroy people. Coverings protect them. It's imperative to have a healthy covering. And because of this, God gives watchmen. Watchmen are imperative. God gives watchmen. If the watchman sees the enemy come, then the watchman gives warning. If the watchman fails to give warning and the enemy comes, then the results are the responsibility of the watchman. If the watchman gives warning and the person who was warned fails to heed the warning, then the responsibility is their own. That's how coverings work. A true covering is a watchman in people's lives. Not necessarily over everyone, but over those for whom it is appropriate. A husband is a covering for a wife. A wife can be a covering for her husband. Parents are coverings for their children. Friends can be coverings one for another. Iron sharpens iron. Pastors are coverings for the people in their churches. These are watchmen. And these people are essential in our lives because they protect us, but they also edify. They also love. They also churn us. They don't lord it over God's heritage in 1 Peter 1:5. This is one of the mistakes that some people can make. They try to lord it, especially pastors or husbands sometimes try to lord it over God's heritage. You don't lord anything over anybody. You don't violate, especially a pastor, people's privacy. Yet at the same time, you find divine creativity. A covering does not mean you become a critic. A covering means you become an edifier. Somebody who knows how to turn people not by criticizing them, but by loving them. We were churned by the love of Christ. Nobody can churn themselves. A covering will never say to you, you must change. Nobody has that ability. A leopard cannot change his spots. We're churned by the love of Christ. So the covering initiates the love of Christ when somebody needs to be churned. Now, a covering may warn about sin, but they also restore people who are in sin. And then, in 1 Peter 1:22, they edify by love. All three are the functions of a covering. In Exodus 22:26, if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is a garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. Now, when a person is a covering for other people, even if he has to make them accountable, and that's not by exposing them publicly, some people's things, you gotta expose people publicly. That in and of itself is a worse sin than whatever sin you might be dealing with. Because it's a violation of the blood of Christ. You don't make people accountable by publicly exposing them. You make people accountable privately. Let's say that you have somebody who's struggling in some area of their life. You're a pastor and this person is in your church. You're a mature believer and this is another believer, perhaps in the same church, perhaps a different one. But you're a mature believer and they are perhaps younger in their faith, but they have a struggle in their life. Let's say alcohol. Well, then you make sure that you invest your time and your love into that person. You make sure that that person understands, you have temptation to go to a bar, call me. Tell me, I'll come and be with you, I'll come and spend time with you, I'll come and love you, I'll come and edify you, I'll come and do something with you. But call me instead. And that love will cause a person to willingly, not out of some sort of manipulation or lording it over somebody, but to willingly want to call them for help, because there's no alcoholic who's happy being an alcoholic. And so they're going to willingly call that person for help. And because love is present, they're going to be drawn to the help that's being offered. That person can then turn the other one from his alcohol. That's what it means to make someone accountable. You have somebody privately, a person you turn to, but a person that can also ask you, have you been having issues with alcohol lately? But because you know they love you, you can answer them honestly. Because you know that they're there and they'll help you and they'll come be with you and they'll do what they can, you can trust them. And so you can become accountable to a covering. This idea of exposing people publicly that's really popular nowadays, and it's really started out in politics. By the way, most of politics is demonic, whether conservative or liberal. It's all at the good side of the tree of knowledge for the most part, unless that politician is saying, I'm here to serve God and I'm seeking God's face for this position, then great, that's a right politician. But even conservatives, I heard this the other day from somebody, they exposed the failures of another individual and they were touting their own self-righteousness politically in this. This person is living at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they're a very popular conservative politician. That person has nothing going on of truth. Might have good policies, but no truth in it. It's all tree of knowledge of good and evil. I like the ones, Katie Britt is like this, Alabama senator. She says, God is the point of my life, and I'm going to go with what God says. Mike Johnson is like that too. God is the point of my life, and I'm going to go with what God says. Any of them, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, if that's their attitude, they're going to be great. If that's not their attitude, at best, it's the good side of Satan's tree. That's why the vast majority of politics is dreadful. Satan's world system. People exposing other people's failures and sins and weaknesses, sometimes inventing them for their own gain. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Wouldn't want to have anything to do with that. When a person covers another person, you don't expose them, even if you make them accountable. He will not leave them uncovered. That person will not leave the other person uncovered, even when he has to deal with something about them. The reason is because uncovering people prevents restoration. If I expose somebody's failures, how is that person ever going to be restored? One time, Paul had to do that in Corinth because it was open knowledge. Guy was sleeping with his dad's wife. And then when the guy got right, they didn't want to restore him. And Paul had to rebuke him from that. You never expose people. You deal with them. You don't ignore it. You get them right to the best of your ability. Sometimes in Romans 16, 17, you may have to mark and avoid them. But you never make it public knowledge. James 4, 11 says when you do that, you speak evil of doctrine. You never make it public knowledge. Once in a while you get somebody fails and it's all over the news. David said, do not publish this in Gath. You never make it public knowledge. Doesn't mean you don't deal with it. Means you deal with it correctly. And that's lacking in today's world. That's why there's very few true coverings. Because frankly, they don't know what it means to cover. And when you use the word to cover, they mean to conceal so that nobody finds out about it, to hide it. And they don't understand that it's a warfare issue. Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now Eve, when she spoke to the serpent, she left her covering. And then she ignored her covering. She should have never been speaking to the serpent to begin with. The covering came from the doctrine Adam gave her. The definition was given to Adam in Genesis 2:17. Then Eve was created later. Adam gave her the definition he received from God. That was her covering. By talking to the enemy and by then seeing that the tree was good for food, the one that would kill you, this poison is now good for food somehow. And so she saw that the tree was good for food. Why? She had already left her covering. She was covered by doctrine. The doctrine said no. She said it's good for food. She had abandoned her covering. And then she gives it to her husband. He left his covering. Now, there was a different reason why. She left it because she was deceived. He left it because of Eve. Now, who's to blame? God held Adam responsible. Why? Adam should have warned her rather than joined her. He was the watchman. It doesn't mean she couldn't be a watchman. She certainly could, but he was the watchman. And when she had gone into something that she was not supposed to, the watchman didn't say a word. Instead, he joined her. Well, Ezekiel 3 says if the watchman doesn't give the warning, it's on the watchman. So God brought it up to the watchman. Because he's the one who received the warning. It says, give them my word. Watchmen, give them my word. But he didn't. He just ate with her. He was a watchman who wouldn't correct. And he should have. Sometimes the pastor in the pulpit will step on your toes. They'll touch on some area of your life. Usually they have no idea that they're doing it, but they'll touch on some area of a person's life and they get mad at him. But he's being a watchman. He's being a covering. He's warning of something. And sometimes he realizes that there is a warning because he sees a trend going on, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is simply telling him what to say, and the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in the individual person's life. And he's being a watchman so that he can be a covering. Never get upset with pastors who tell you things you don't want to hear. If they're saying it from the pulpit and it's written in the Word of God, they're giving you the Word of God. Now, if they're making it up, that's another story. And sometimes that happens, but not very often. But if you're giving it to you from the Word of God, that's the Word of God. And if it happens to pertain to you, then receive it. Because it pertains to you. And he's being a watchman. Then it continues in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They left the correct covering and took on a false covering. The correct covering was the doctrine they received. The false covering was a solution to a problem that God didn't offer. And so they went into a natural provision to take care of a supernatural problem. In Isaiah 30 and verse 1, woe to you, rebellious children. Watch out when God says woe to you. That take counsel, but not of me, says the Lord. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. See, a covering has to always be by the Spirit of God. Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, so the covering is always carried out in love. But it has to be by the Spirit of God, because that's the one who guides us in all truth in John 16:13. Covering has to be according to truth. And so it says, they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. What this is saying is that iniquity becomes their covering. And sometimes people do that. The rationalization of self-orientation becomes their covering. People defend their self-oriented activities or attitudes. And if you touch on it, they might get quite mad at you. Because you're touching something they're using as a covering. Justification of sin is a covering of iniquity. You can't go that route and do well with God. Iniquity is a poor covering. Iniquity is the covering Satan offers you. It's his throne in Psalm 94:20. And then it says, that walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Egypt is the world system. They go into the world without being led there. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type for Satan. They strengthen themselves in that which is evil. Often that will mean at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And to trust the shadow of Egypt. To be hidden in that which is the world. That becomes a covering even for some Christians. Don't do things the world's way. Don't justify it if you do. Don't live in self-orientation. Don't justify it if you do. Satan will offer you every reason to be self-oriented. God offers you one reason not to. He says, it's iniquity. It's not of me. Satan will say, yes, but this person and this circumstance and this reason and your feelings and your identity and your preference and how could they and why should I? All kinds of reasons. And they serve as a covering of iniquity. And there's no truth in it. It is possible when there are carnal people that they will try to cover themselves in the ways of the world rather than covering themselves at the throne of grace. That's not uncommon. Self-preservation for these people will become the issue and love will not be the issue. If you try to appease the devil, I want you guys to remember this. Warfare 101. If you try to appease the devil, the devil comes with some kind of attack, be it circumstantial, be it accusation, be it financial, whatever it happens to be, health. If you try to appease the devil, you will have to cooperate with him. If you cooperate with the devil, you will have to participate with him. If you participate with the devil, he will never let you stop because you have entered his government. This is evil. Adding sin to sin, iniquity, if you will, is the entry into Satan's government. His throne is a throne of iniquity. Self-preservation is an expression of iniquity. Now, I've seen pastors lie, even from the pulpit. It's a little bit startling when you see it. It's not super common at all. But when it happens, watch out. Why did they do that? Self-preservation. Only reason. Self-preservation. Iniquity. Appeasing the devil. And so you cooperate. If you cooperate, you participate. If you participate, he won't let you stop because you are now under his government. It's very dangerous and it's very destructive to the body of Christ, but it's also destructive to the individual. Churches get destroyed that way. Not because anybody tries to, but because Ichabod is over the door. It means the glory has gone from this place. The glory of grace. The glory of agape. The glory of truth. The glory of the Spirit of God is removed by self-orientation. It's a dangerous thing. And it becomes their covering. That's the thing about them. They take it as a covering. And in truth, it's a satanic covering. It's a false covering. Genesis 9:22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now Ham uncovered his father. Not by seeing him naked even, but by talking about it. He should have never said a word. Shem and Japheth, on the other hand, they wouldn't look, they wouldn't speak. They just took a garment and put it on top of him. That's a covering. They eliminated the problem by being kind to the one with the problem. That was a covering. In Ecclesiastes 8:9, in the B part, there is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. We obey in Hebrews 13:7 those who are a covering for us because they're the watchmen of our souls. And so we obeyed them. We yield to their warnings. We yield to their edification. We yield to their love. We yield to the grace they give us. We yield to the compassion. We yield to the correction. It comes as a package. You can't do one without the others. Some are afraid to be watchmen, like with the self-preservation thing. If there is hurt to be found, there won't be watchmen. Some are afraid to be coverings. If there is hurt to be found, they won't cover. They won't take the risk of loving another believer if they see a risk involved. These are false coverings because they leave people uncovered. So they are false coverings. They look like they should be coverings, but they won't cover. In John 10:11b, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Yes, being a good covering may cost you. You may have to be associated with somebody in order to retain truth in your life, in your relationships, perhaps in your church, whatever, with a person who perhaps is under some kind of attack. Or for some reason has gotten a negative spotlight on them. Whether true or false, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, if you're going to be a true covering, sometimes you take a risk. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Christ was the ultimate covering, and it cost him his life to be one. You can't worry about that if you're going to be a true covering. You're going to love to your own hurt. You're going to be gracious to your own hurt. You're going to be kind to your own hurt. You're going to correct somebody, telling them the truth in season and out of season when need be, to your own hurt. You're going to preach the word when nobody wants to hear it, like Jeremiah. He was a good covering. Nobody wanted to hear him. He preached and people left town. But you know what? He was a good covering. He loved Israel. He loved the people of Israel. He even loved those who were ridiculing him. He told them the truth according to God's word. He gave them warning and he gave them promise. He was a good covering. And it cost him a whole lot of rejection, and that's what he got in return. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you have to deal with the warfare. But then that's what coverings are about, is warfare. Covering people from the enemy as the wiles of the devil try to attack the person in one way or another. And you are there to cover them if you're a true covering. And yes, that means you may have to deal with unpleasant things. And you may have to deal with unpleasant consequences toward yourself. And we don't wish those on anybody. But they can happen. So if they happen, what is a true covering to do? It covers. Just covers. A watchman watches. He stands on the wall and watches. The problem with standing on a wall, you're an easy target. But he's still there, and he still watches. In Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Grace is our covering for sin. We're all sinners. Grace is our covering for sin because it's a throne of grace. So sin never becomes disqualifying. Lack of ability even does not become disqualifying. Lack of stature does not become disqualifying. Even lack of experience does not become disqualifying so long as the will of God is in it. This is what coverings are about. Whether they're a covering in the warfare, whether they're a covering regarding sin, whether they are a covering regarding something like loneliness, whether they are a covering for the body in general, whether they're a covering for an individual so that that person can have a capacity developed so they can grow, whatever the nature of the covering, it's always a grace covering if it's a true covering. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."